I just had one of those moments. I opened my Bible and I looked up there and I saw the passage and I thought, that's it. And I looked in my Bible and I saw the passage and I thought, wait, that's not it, but it is. And so that is actually where we will be today in Exodus chapter 33, and we will start in 12. I was talking to Sal earlier this morning about how God kind of guides us sometimes through passages to preach that He lays on my heart. Because I had every intention of some type of a passage that had something to do with after the resurrection, then what? You know, type of a message. And so I kind of looked that way, and it talked to, you know, I got to thinking and praying about the presence after the resurrection, and God kind of, I find myself in Exodus chapter 33 with Moses talking about the presence of God. And so it's just amazing how God kind of leads to say, no, we're not going the direction you want, but we're going to do this. And so this morning we are going to be talking about Moses and the presence of God. So let's read along with me. We're going to start in verse 12 of chapter 33. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Let's pray. Father, we want to truly come now into your presence. Lord, my prayer this morning is not that this would be a church service, but this would be a time that we experience you. A time that we understand what it is you want from us, what it is you have for us. Lord, that all we do would seek to draw close to you, to honor you. But Lord, we cannot do that without the moving of your Holy Spirit. Lord, open your word, make it come alive to each of us. We thank you and we praise you for the love of Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, with this passage, Moses, God had been sending him, telling him, you're going to take these people, you're going to leave Sinai, and you're going to take these people into the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. And that was what God was calling him to do. He was going to lead these hundreds of thousands, if not more, people to the promised land. And he was just one man. And God had called him to do that. And so as we look at this passage this morning, I'm going to talk about five things that God did for Moses in this passage, in these short few verses. But I want you to understand that this is not just a passage out of the Old Testament. Some people say, well, you know, the Old Testament, we don't live in the Old Testament. Sometimes I think we should, because you can look at the Old Testament and you can cross-reference it with the evening news and you'll find out it's pretty close. Tells us in the New Testament that God wrote down and kept the Old Testament for our benefit so that we could read it, so that we could understand, and we might not make their mistakes. But unfortunately, we still are. But as we look at the first thing, I want us to look about the fact that God had called Moses. And we all know that. We know what God had called Moses to do. To lead these children, to bring them out of Egypt, to bring them through the wilderness and into the promised land, and lead those children the way God wanted him to, because he knew that Moses would follow him. And so there's not a one of us in here that would ever put ourselves there with Moses saying, God has called me like he's called Moses. None of us would ever say that. Because we put Moses up here on this pedestal. Moses was a murderer. Moses had no self-confidence. Moses was everything that we are. But what he did is he understood that God called him. And like many of us, when God called him, he tried to make excuses and say, send somebody else. Every one of us in here, God has called to do something. If it's not he's called you in the past, he's calling you now. So you need to understand that. We look at Moses, and God calls him, and we think, well, he was something special, and he was the one that was chosen to lead these people. But can you imagine if you had that conversation? This is one of the conversations that Moses had with God. And it seems like he's almost bold and almost arrogant in the conversation. If you're not going to go with us, then I'm not going to go. How many of us would have the nerve to say that to God? That's not really the way it's coming across when you translate it correctly. He is in prayer. In verse 13, it tells us he's praying. He says, I pray that I've found grace in your sight and that you know me by name. He says here, God knows you by name. He's called him to do this. He's the only one. Now, he brings alongside Aaron to speak, but Moses was the one called. Very specific call. You have a very specific call. I don't know what your call is. Sometimes I'm not sure I know all of mine. I think the call of God is progressive. I think the more you know about God, the more He calls you into His service. And the more you go into His service, the more you learn about Him. And the more you learn about Him, the more He calls you farther. But too many times we stop with what we know. And we're good with that. But God has a specific call for you. I don't know what that is. And so many times, you may say, I don't know what that is. If you get a call on the phone, and somebody is going to tell you what to do, and you don't know what they're going to tell you to do, how are you going to find out? But listen to the one on the other end of the line and see what they're telling you to do. It's that simple. Find out what God wants you to do. Find out the call He has for your life. Because if you're not doing what He's called you to do, then you're not fulfilling the will of God for your life. Sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, I'm not doing all of it, but at least I'm doing part of it. Is that enough? As a parent, when I asked my kids to do something when they were growing up, if they did part of it, was I satisfied? No more than you were. So why do we expect God to sit up there and say, well, Steve at least did a little bit? He is pleased when we serve Him and follow His will to the call He has on our life. Can we go any farther if we don't know what that call is? Yes. But if I don't seek to know what that call is, that specific call on my life, then how can I be where He wants me to be if I don't know where He wants me to be? And the only way to know where He wants me to be is to ask and then to listen to what He has to say. So Moses was called and you are called. Next, we go on and we have to understand that if we're going to trust the call that God has on our life, Doesn't sound like Moses was real sure. Hey, you want me to bring these people up, but you haven't let me know whom you'll send with me. Doesn't sound like he's real sure that things are going to work out. There's a lot of times I'm not real sure things are going to work out because I'm trusting me instead of God. So we have to trust His call and knowing that He will equip us to do what He's called us to do. Next, and this would be so amazing to hear this, because it says there in that verse, it says, "You have said, I know you by name." God has said, "Moses, I know your name." Stop and think that God knows your name. Now, we know that God knows everything. God is all-knowing, all-powerful. But in that all-knowing, we just assume we're all lumped together and God knows each and every person by name. And that's true. But He knows us as individuals, too. I can remember when I was in college, I was walking across the campus one day, and there was a professor that I just felt like he was the head of the theology department, and when you were in his class, you just felt like there was so much knowledge coming that you just couldn't get it all soaked in. And my number at college was 49810. That was my number. When I looked for a test, you looked on the board and you found 49810. That's how long ago it's been, because now they're like 7-12 digits. So, but I just had 5. That's how long ago it's been. But I was 49810, and that's what all the teachers knew me as. And I was walking across campus one day, and Dr. Dutille, the head of the theology department, was walking by, I almost was afraid to make contact, eye contact. You know what I'm talking about? He was one of those people. I looked, and he said, "Hey, Steve, how are you doing?" I about passed out. I'm serious. Dr. Dutille knew my name. It was like I had won the lottery. I don't know. It just blew me away that Dr. Dutille, the head of the theology department, knew my name. That was just Dr. Dutille. God knows my name. And every morning, His mercies are new every morning. And when I wake up and I go to pray to Him, it's not like, "Hey, God, it's me." It's, "Hey, Steve, I've been waiting on you." He knows you by name. Can you grasp that? I think sometimes we can't grasp the fact that God's, you know, we put Him up there as this impersonal God, but He's called you specifically. He knows you by name. He has something for you to do, but when He was on the cross, you were on His mind. Not the world, and not all of the people that would believe in Him. You were on His mind because He knows your name. I want that to soak in, because if nothing else, you cannot worship God until you understand how much He loves you. And when you understand that He loves you, He knows you by name. The Bible says the number, He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows that your days are numbered. He knows everything about you. And He loves you anyway. Sometimes I think because of my mistakes, because of my stumbling, because of my stubbornness, because of my attitudes, because of my actions, I think, well, God puts up with me. No. God loves you. Because when He sees you, He sees you and He knows your name, but He sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ if you've accepted Christ. And He sees you as holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows you by name. But what if I haven't accepted Him He still knows you. He still loves you. You may not love Him. You may not know Him. You may not serve Him. But He loves you anyway. And you need to understand that. So He called Moses, told Moses, I know you by name. And this next one, I don't think we can grasp it either. It says, you know, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Some translations put that as favor. There is a big difference between favor and grace. It says that we found grace. Moses had found grace in God's sight. Now, it wasn't something that he was just stumbling around, oh, look what I found. No. God bestowed grace. The Bible tells us He bestows grace upon who He wants to. That's up to Him. He's God. He can do that. But Moses did nothing to deserve it. God chose to give it even though he was a murderer. God chose to give it even though he was refusing to follow God's call. God extended grace even though he was wandering out in the backside of the desert watching somebody else's sheep. And God said, here's my grace. You don't deserve it. You don't even want it. But I know you need it. And so to have God say, I know you by name and you have grace in my sight. Let's make that personal again. He called you specifically to do something. He knows everything about you. He knows your name. He knows that whatever He's called you to do, He's going to equip you to do. You can do it through Him. And when you make the mistakes, grace that is greater than all our sins covers it all. And you don't deserve it. And I don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. That's where we are. We have to understand that God has given us grace, and it's only by grace, through faith alone, that we can have salvation through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Had He not bestowed grace upon us, we could not have salvation. Had He not bestowed grace upon Moses, that people would have never made it to the promised land. We need to understand that grace has been given. Now, maybe you haven't accepted that grace yet, but it was still offered. That's an option. It's set out there. We don't know, and it didn't happen, but what if God had said, Moses, I know you by name, and you have grace in my sight, and Moses said, I'm not going to go to the promised land. I've got other things to do. The grace was still offered. He still knew him by name. Even if he would have rejected it, the grace was there. Because that's what God is. God is a God of grace and mercy. When we begin to understand that we cannot make it without grace, then this should change every day of our life. That you are living in the grace of God. And only when we understand that we're living in the grace of God are we able to be thankful for that grace. But how long has it been since you've been thankful for grace? Yeah, I can say that God's called me and I can understand that and because He's got something for me to do. And I can understand that He knows me by name because He's God that knows everybody. But when I understand the grace that He offers, that He extends, how can you keep from being thankful? But you know what? One of the examples to say or to show that you understand grace is, do you extend grace to others? Well, you know, I try, but those people don't deserve it. Well, then you may never have accepted grace. You may never have understood grace. Because when I understand what God overlooked of me and my sin and my wickedness, and He offered grace, then how can I say, well, that person has a bad attitude, I'm not going to treat them this way or that way? Because if I didn't deserve it, why do we make other people deserve grace from us? Well, I'm not God. I can't extend that grace. If you've received grace, then you can extend grace. Don't try to make other people deserve it because you don't. Next, I love verse 14. And He, God, said, "My presence will go with you." Moses, in this prayer, saying, "I know you know me by name, and I know I've received grace in your sight, but I still want you to go with me. I want to know you more. I want to experience you more." He knew God. He was serving God. He was leading God's people, but that wasn't enough. And it wasn't he was demanding that God go with us. If you don't go, we're not going to go. I'm not going to go. It wasn't that. It's, God, we can't make it without you, type of an attitude. And you and I don't have that attitude. We think we can make it on our own. We've studied enough. We do enough. We're nice enough people. We get by. So why do we need the presence of God to go with us? Now in this, they were going out through the wilderness. They were going to wander through the wilderness before they made it to the promised land. And so surely in the wilderness, there's the Red Sea, there's no water, there's no food, all of those things. There's the enemies, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, all those other tites that were out there. They are there, so surely they needed God to make it. But today, really, what do we have? Well, there's kind of people out there like the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the others. And there are times when we may not know where our next meal's coming from, or we may not feel like we're surviving. But surely we don't need God. Don't get there, because we do. We cannot make it through this life without the presence of God. Now, there are people that are trying. Oh, well, I know people that don't know God, and they seem to be doing really well. They're existing on the face of the earth. They are not living the life that God has available to them. We have to understand that the presence of God is the only way to make it through this wilderness that we're going through. If Moses had not desired the presence of God, God said, they are a bunch of stiff-necked people. You can look back at the beginning of this chapter. God says, if I go with you, it's not going to turn out good, because this is a bunch of stiff-necked people and I'm going to bring my wrath upon them. And Moses interceded. He said, we need you. We need your presence to go with us. We can't make it without you. He says down there a little farther, except you go with us, so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the other people upon the face of the earth. The only thing that would separate Moses and the Israelites from all the other nations on the face of the earth was the presence of God. So what do you think separates us from everybody else out there? Don't say it's we're good people. Don't say it's we're religious people, because that doesn't cut it. The only thing that separates us from them is the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every Christian. The presence of God. If the presence of God is not evident in my life, then I am no different than anybody else out there. If the evidence of the Holy Spirit is not present in your life, then you are no different than anybody out there. The Holy Spirit that God offers, that Comforter that Jesus said, when I go to heaven, He will send the Holy Spirit. He will send the Comforter. He will send another like me. And He will indwell the Christians. He will empower the Christians. He will equip the Christians. He will protect. He will lead. He will be there. He will indwell them. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Well, then His presence is always there, right? But then the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Ouch. Because that's where many of us are. We give Him that little bitty room that's inside us. If we looked at our body as like a little house, well, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to live within us, but I'm putting Him in the laundry room. And when my laundry gets dirty, I'll take it into Him and He can clean it. But the rest of my life, I'll make it by myself. That's not the way He works. I can't quench Him and keep Him in my laundry room, in the laundry room of my life, when everything else seems to be so important. Excuse me, getting worked up. Excuse me. But that's what we do. We quench the Spirit of God inside us. When it's that Spirit, it's the presence of God, is the only way we're going to make it through this world. We can exist, but we can never honor, and we can never glorify. And that's why we're here. The next one. In verse 14, when He says, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Man, that had to have been such a good feeling. Moses hears Him say, My presence is going to go with you, and I'm going to give you rest. Wow. Not only is God's presence going to go, that's what Moses asked for, but God says, I'm going to give you rest. I'm not only going to go with you, I'm going to give you rest. Man, one thing I read this week in this passage that's not in this passage, but it's in this passage, if you understand what I mean, it was not immediate rest. That's what I want. God, if Your presence is with me, then I should be in total rest right now. Things should be going good right now. All the enemies on each side should be set back. I shouldn't have any attacks coming on me because the presence of God is with me and He promises me rest. The rest came when they made it to the promised land. There was a lot of wilderness before the promised land. But the presence was with them in the wilderness. But the rest was promised after you follow me through the wilderness. I want the rest right now. You probably want the rest right now. But people were in the middle of the wilderness. We live in a country that has just thrown God aside, and not just thrown Him aside, but tried to trample Him with all the things that they want to do. We're in the wilderness. But God has promised me rest. And if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, He's promised you rest too. Rest can also be translated peace. But there is only one way to know peace. Not as the world gives, Jesus says, but as I give. And that peace comes with knowing, no matter what happens, I will have eternity with my Lord and Savior. Nothing else matters. If I can have that peace, I can lose my job, I can get hit by a truck, I can get struck by lightning, nothing matters. Because I know when I take my last breath on this earth that I will be in the presence of my Lord and Savior for all eternity. That's peace. Jesus offers that. Here, God told Moses, "My presence will go with you through the wilderness, and I will give you rest." Only God can give you rest. So let's sum this up really quick. He's called you. It's specific. He knows you by name. You understand He's given you grace that you don't deserve. He wants you to live in His presence, and one day He's going to offer you rest. That's what you have if you know Him as your personal Savior. Now, I like those last parts. I like the promise of rest. I like the fact that His presence is always with me. I love the fact and can't live without the grace that He has given me. And I like the fact that He knows me by name. But it's that first one that we have trouble with. Usually it goes the other way around in most sermons. Starts off easy and works its way down to where it's really hard. But all of the things that come after is when you accept His call. And like I said, I don't know what your complete call. I believe it's progressive, like I said. The first part of your calling is when God calls you to accept Him as your personal Savior. And then that call continues every day of your life. What are you going to do with it? Maybe you're sitting out there and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. All of these things are there for you. He knows you by name. He offers you grace. His presence is there. You can have eternity with Him in heaven. But you've got to accept that call first. The understanding that He sent His Son to die on the cross so that you would come to Him and ask for forgiveness. Acknowledge Him and praise Him and honor Him. It's all there for you. There's not a person in this room that these things aren't offered to. But unfortunately, there's probably at least one person in here that's turning it all down. That doesn't know Him, that doesn't choose to serve Him, that's never asked for forgiveness. But He loves you and He knows you by name anyway. And so we could just focus on that evangelical call to try to get that one person or persons to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But as Christians, you're not off the hook, because He's called you to do something specifically. You want those other things? Then you follow Him through the wilderness. His presence, He said, "I will go with you." What does that mean? You have to go. Well, if I stay here, isn't His presence with me? Technically, yes. But where would Moses be in fulfilling the will of God if he just sat there and said, "No, I'm good to sit right here with Your presence"? But today, too many of us would rather have the blessings of God than the presence of God. Moses could have very easily said, okay, you're sending us to the promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey, all these things, this rest, all these things are promised to us. And Moses could have said, yeah, let's go. We want those blessings. But Moses said, no, I don't want to go anywhere without your presence. Because the presence of God meant more to him than the blessings of God. That's where we have to start, is to desire the presence of God more than the blessings of God. And when we understand how the presence of God changes our lives, like he said, nothing else is going to separate you from the world. Not how eloquent you speak, not the job you have, nothing else will separate you except the presence of God. Are you okay with being like everybody else? Or do you want the presence of God to be active in your life? If you do, then you've got to accept His calling. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for all that you have placed in it, you've kept for us. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place this morning, that you would lay it on our hearts and our minds to where we couldn't just hear it and walk out. Lord, help us to understand how much you love us. May your Holy Spirit move among us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.